Okay. We are on Chaf Amar Aleph. Today's Daf Chaf. We are on the top line. So we said yesterday that a person is not permitted to say, I will pay for one mitzvah with my Meiser. And now, along similar lines, we're going to have cases where someone said something and it was not valid because whatever. We'll see right now. Hahu Gavra. Now we're talking about other mitzvahs now. Listen to this. Hahu Gavra, there was once a guy. Rashi says he was a Shchiv Mira. And a Shchiv Mira is someone on his deathbed. Shchiv Mira is someone on his deathbed. Someone on his deathbed is allowed to make verbal agreements that are binding. Because we're scared if we don't allow it to happen, then he's going to get even more agitated, he's going to get more upset, and it might cause him even to die sooner. Chas v'shalom. So, his verbal declarations are more binding. Anyway, Hu Gavra, there was such a person. To Amalahu, he said to somebody, Havulei arba me'ezuzi leploni. Give 400 zuz to Ploni, v'linisim brati, and he's going to marry my daughter. So the Gemara says, Amar of Papa, if Papa says, arba me'a shakil, he's got to give him the 400, but ubrate, but the daughter, ibay nasiv, ibay lo nasiv, it's up to the recipient of the 400 zuz. If he wants to, yes, if not, not. Why? Rashi explains, because the statement's broken up. Give $400 to Ploni. That's it. He's got to give it. And by the way, I would like it if you married my daughter. So that's a secondary, it's a second statement to add it on. It has nothing to do with the $400. Therefore, the $400 goes to Ploni. If Ploni wants, he can marry the daughter. There's no chiddush in that. Anyone can marry anyone, right? So some say, like, once the father's dead, Ploni can marry her without the father saying that. So some say that maybe that this statement will have kedima over the mother or the brothers. Because we know that midrabanan, once the father dies, if the girl's a katana, then the mother or the brothers have rights to marry her off. This might trump that. And the father said, I want him to marry, even though he's not alive anymore, that would still have kedima. That's maybe why it says that. But, taima, the whole reason is, the Amar Havulei, because first he said, give the fellow the $400, ulanasiv, and then he said, and as a secondary statement, and by the way, I would like them to be married. Aval, e Amar, if he would have said, lanasiv, he wants to marry her. If he marries her, then v'havulei, then give him the money. So it's a condition of marriage. So then, e nasiv shakil, if he marries her, he'll get the money. V'ilo nasiv, lo shakil. And if he doesn't marry her, he will not get the money. Because it's how you phrase the statement. It could possibly be that even if you phrase it that way by mitzvah, it still wouldn't work. Even if you said that by mitzvah, it still doesn't work. But by this condition, it would. If you said, so-and-so can marry my daughter, I'll give Ploni $400 on the condition he marries my daughter, that's a valid condition. So if he marries, so he fulfills the condition. If not, not. Okay. Yosef Maremar was sitting around, and he said over the issue of yesterday of whether or not you can use one chov to pay another chov. He didn't say it over as a question that Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan had. He just said it as a statement that you can't do it. So Amalei Ravina L'Rameimar, so Ravina said to him, Atun Hachi Masnisu L'Ha. You're saying it as a statement, but Anan Kedibay Minei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Masnin L'Ha. We learned it as a question that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish had. That's all. No, nothing to speak out over here about that. The question was it a statement or was it a back and forth? Okay. From here, the two dots is hard. So it's not hard, it's just to concentrate because there's so many karbonos flying around over here. All right. Tony Tanaka made. So yesterday we said it's a machlokes whether or not you can do smicha on yontif between Beis Hill and Beis Shammai. There was a related machlokes, which itself was a machlokes, whether you could bring private nedarim and nedavos on yontif. So that was machlokes about whether or not Beis Hill allowed that. Beis Shammai for sure did not allow that. There was a machlokas within Beis Hill. Would Beis Hill allow somebody to bring private karbanos? And that's the direction that we're headed right now. Also, Beis Hillel said yesterday that you're allowed to bring an olas ru'iyah on Yom Tov. Even though nobody eats that, still allowed to bring it because it's a chov to bring it on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai said you can't bring it on Yom Tov. So that's pretty much all the background that we're going to need. But as we go through it, we'll speak out more. So Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. There was somebody who was learning Brisos in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. And he said as follows. It says in Parsha Shmini, by the Shivas Yimei HaMeluim, the Yaakov Es HaOla, that they should bring the Ola. Rashi says, this was the Ola of the Shmini Yimei HaShel Yimeluim. It was the Ola brought on the eighth day of the Miluim, that special day. And it was a Chov to bring it. It was a Chov to bring it. Tosfos says it's a different Ola, whatever it is. It's very complicated, but it was a Chov to bring it. Now, very interesting. The Torah says that you should do smicha only by voluntary olos and by voluntary shlamins. The Torah never says to do smicha by chovos, meaning yontifs, meluim, special chovos, only by voluntary ones. Beis Shammai says, you know why? Because by voluntary ones it makes a lot of sense, because they're very prevalent. They're very common. Every day, every other day, there's someone bringing a carbon to do smicha. But on special days, who said? Who's to say that you should bring them on special days? So that you should do smicha on special days. Therefore, Beis Shammai limited it only to voluntary shlamins. Same exact thing with olas. It says in the Torah that you should do smicha on an ola. Black and white in the Torah. It's like the fourth or fifth pasuk there in Parshas Vayikra. Right in the beginning of Vayikra, v'samach yado, you should do smicha for a voluntary ola. Rashi points out, it says, ish ki Yaakov ola, when a man's going to bring an ola, meaning it's voluntary, do you make the leap to mandatory olas or not? So Beis Hillel says, yes, you do. And Beis Shammai says, no, you don't. So over here, by the Meluim, it says in the Pasuk over there, V'yakriv es ha'ola v'yaseh kamishbat. You should bring the ola and do it kamishbat. Do it, what does that mean, do a kamishbat? So this person who is learning the Brisa explained, kamishbat olos nadava, just like somebody would bring a voluntary ola. Ma lime, which teaches you, al olas chova, that this olas chova, this mandatory ola that had to be brought on the Shivat Zmei HaMeluim, sheta'una smicha, that required smicha. Every other chov in the world, oh, 1 second. So this ola required smicha. So Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba says to this fellow, D'amar Lachmani, whose opinion are you quoting? Whose opinion are you saying? It must be Beis Shammai. It must be Beis Shammai. Why? Because Beit Rashi explains, Beis Shammai never made the leap from voluntary olos to mandatory olos. He never made that leap. Why? Because mandatory olos are very rare. They only come around Yom Tov. Voluntary olos every day of the year. So he never made that leap. He never made that leap. So therefore, the Torah had to go out of its way and tell you, this one, this chov, do it kamishbat. Do it like you do the other ones. Meaning, do smicha here. Every other chov of an ola, olas me'iyah, other olas that are brought on Yom Tov, don't do smicha. This one, the Torah says, do it. That must be Beis Shammai. That must be Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai is the one who doesn't make the connection between voluntary and mandatory. Because he doesn't learn Shalmei Chova from Shalmei Nedava. The same issues like Shlomim. There are voluntary Shlomims and there are mandatory Shlomims. The voluntary Shlomims, the Torah says in black and white, do Smicha. Beis Hillel holds, so too by voluntary, so too by mandatory. Beis Shammai doesn't make that leap. He doesn't make that jump. He doesn't make that Mamatzinu. It says it here, I'll apply it to the whole world. Doesn't do that. But Beis Hillel does. So Beis Shammai doesn't. Therefore, the Torah had to go out of its way and tell you that by the Miluim, yes. By the Miluim, yes. To E Beis Hillel. Because if you want to tell me if it's Beis Hillel, Kivan de Gemiri, Shammai Chova, Mishalmei Nedava, he does connect, he does parallel the voluntary ones to the mandatory ones. In the Mishnah yesterday, right, we said it's the oldest machlokas in the Torah, in the Judaism, people emailed me yesterday, it's not true. There was things with about Amoni and Amoavis. That was a machlokas, whether Rus could come into Klai Yisrael. And another one about, who was it? About Shmuel and Eli. So I told him, I saw those questions, and I have a sefer over there about on Masechta Beita from Rabbi Ginsburg and Flatbush, and he explained that there might have been machlokasin, but they weren't, quote unquote, under this rubric of Malchamta Shel Torah and machlokasin L'Shem Shemayim and these enduring machlokasin. That's why the Mishnah in Avot says, what's a machlokas L'Shem Shemayim? Hill and Shammai. It doesn't say Doeg and the contemporaries. It doesn't say Shmuel and Eli. It says Hillel and Shammai. They only argued four times. Right? That one and then the other three. But so it's a different kind of machlokas. More of an enduring, more of a L'Shem Shammai machlokas. Okay, so back to this. So we said yesterday that Hillel agreed that you have to do smicha on the shlomims that are brought on Yom Tov. Hillel agreed to that. So I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you have to do it by the ola on the Shivas Yimei Meluim, on the Shmini Yimei Meluim. I don't need a pasuk for that. It says it by chov. It says it by voluntary. It applies to all chov. Everyone got me so far? Everyone's gone. So far, so good. Again, de beis Hillel. If it's beis Hillel, kivon de gemiri shalme chov or mishalme nedava. Since he compares, he learns out mandatory from voluntary. Again, the Torah only says it by voluntary. He applies it to all mandatory across the board, right? There's a rule. Mamatzinu. If it says it somewhere in the Torah one time, mistama, it should apply to every other case, unless I know otherwise. So it says it only by voluntary. It should apply to mandatory every other, unless I know otherwise. Why not? So that's what Hillel says. That's what Beis Hillel says. It applies. The Torah says it by voluntary. It applies to mandatory. I don't need an extra pasuk to tell me that by the olas chova you have to do smicha. It applies to voluntary. It applies to mandatory. Nami lo tiboy kra. I wouldn't need a pasuk for this. Right. Nami lo tiboy kra. Digemiri me olas nedava. Because he learns it out from voluntary olas. So your whole drasha here, this Yitzchak Barada tells us this brisa learner. Your whole drasha here is that the word kamishpat tells you that olas chova has to have smicha. That can only be beishamai. That can only be beishamai. Can't be beis Hillel. Beis Hillel doesn't need a pasuk for that. He learns it out of a mamatzinu. It can only be beishamai. Beishamai doesn't agree with that mamatzinu. Why not? He doesn't agree with the mamatzinu because he holds that voluntary are too frequent and too common to teach me anything about mandatory. So he needs a pasuk in this particular case on the Shmini Yimei Meluim, do smicha. That's what we're up to right now. So the Gemara says, Umimai, debase Hillel, Shalme Chova, Mishalme Nedava Gemiri. Who told you that that's how Beis Hillel knows that you do smicha by voluntary kabbanos? Who told you it's a mamatzinu from voluntary? Who told you that? Dilma, maybe. This is his source. Dilma, maybe. Me'olas chova gemiri. Maybe he learns it out from... No, maybe he learns it out from the olas chova. From this pasuk. Maybe this is his source. Ve'olas chova gufa boikra. And the olas chova is from this pasuk of kamishpat. Who told you he'll hold from a mamatzinu? Maybe he holds from... This is his source. Olas chova says it with a pasuk. I then have olas chova that you have to, and I'll apply that to chova of shlum, of all olas and all shlumins. Who said it's a mamatzinu? Why wouldn't Beis Hillel learn the mamatzinu? For the same reason Beis Shammai doesn't, because it's too prevalent. Voluntaries are too prevalent; they're too common to teach me anything about mandatories, which only take place on Yom Tov. So that's the kasha on. That learner of Bryce's. He said maybe it only applies, maybe it's only Beis Shammai, and I would say no, it could even be Beis Hillel. Who said?
What do you mean by only take place on Yom Tov? What about the Tomid every day?
What?
The Tomid is a Noel.
Right, Tomid. I think that they're only talking about Yom Tov Chov, yes. Yeah, not every day, yeah. So the Gemara says, Maishna Mishalme Nedava Delo Gemiri. Why don't you want to learn out all mandatory from all voluntary? Why not? Shekein mitsuyin. Because they are too frequent. Right? Like I said, every day of the year you can bring as many shlomim as you want. The chovos, they're only brought on Yom Tov. Yontif, the Miluim, very rare times. So that it can't teach me the halacha. It's too common. They're not the same. They're not comparable. So the Gemara says, I have a problem with the olas also. But me olas chova nami lo gamimi. The olas chova also can't teach me anything about smicha. Why not? Shekain kalil. Because they're entirely burned up. So how can those teach me about shlamims? How can they? They're all burnt up. Meaning, they have a characteristic that's different, and therefore not similar, and therefore it can't be the source to derive the halacha. So the Gemara answers, you are right, Beis Hillel is stuck, therefore, Asya mi benaya, which bottom line means, it's a mamatzinu. It's a tarashava. You're right. You can't learn it out from shlamims, because shlamim are too common. You can't learn it out from olas, because olas are entirely burnt. But you can learn it out from both of them. So even Beis Hillel needs the pasuk. Even Beis Hillel needs the pasuk to tell you what? That you do smicha on every carbon, on olos, on shlamims, on chovos, all chovos. How do I know? I have both sources. I need both. I need the pasuk, and I need the shlamims of voluntary. And there's a long Rashi here. He even says it. I don't know why the Gemara just doesn't say the words tarashava, right? And then the lower izek, lower izek. Rashi goes through the whole thing. Rashi even calls it a tarashava, and he calls it a mahatzad. So that's basically what it means. I don't know why it's a different phrase here. It's basically what it means. It's a tarashava. I can't learn it out from shlamims because shlamims are too prevalent. I can't learn it out from ola chov from this pasuk because that's burnt up. But the two characteristics together I can derive from them that anything similar, which is all other shalams and olas, can likewise require smicha. And that's based Hillel's shita. So we started off by saying maybe the pasuk is only Beis Shammai, and we said, no, it could even be Beis Hillel. Fine. That's pretty much the hard part for today. Okay, now next. Now, v'savi Beis Shammai, Shammai chov lo bayis smicha, does Beis Shammai really hold that shlamims of chova don't require smicha? Is that true? For Hatanya, Amar B'yosi, l'nechleku Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel al ha-smicha atma, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't argue on smicha. They all agree, shetzarech, that you need it, amar nechleku, what's the whole machlokis? Al tekef l'smicha shchita. Does it have to be right away? Does the smicha have to be immediately before the shchita? Right before shchita, do smicha. That's the machlokas. Shebei shamei omrim eno tzarech. It's not necessary. It doesn't have to be so right away, so close in time. Ubeis Hillel omrim tzarech. And Beis Hillel says it does. But you see from this brisa that they don't argue about the smicha itself. They all agree. So the Gemara is going to answer. It's a machlokas tanoim about that also. Hahu da'amar ki hai tana. He holds like a different tana. The tanya. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechleku Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel al tekef l'smicha shchita. They don't argue about that. Shetzarech. Everybody holds that you have to have smicha right close to shchita. And of course, Rashi points out if you hold, you have to have shchita. If you hold, you have to have smicha, right? Because Beis Shammai doesn't hold from it all the time. If you hold from it, it has to be right away. Amar nechleku. What are they arguing about? Al smicha atma. Fine. If you ever have to do smicha, it has to be right next to shchita. The Torah does say you have to do smicha by voluntary offerings. Beis Shammai can't get out of that. Amar nechleku, what are they arguing about? Al smicha atzma. What about smicha itself? Shebeis Shammai omrim eino tzarech. You don't need it where it's not mentioned in the Torah. Ubeis Hillel omrim tzarech, and Beis Hillel says you do. So all we did, just to recap for a minute, all we did was the pasuk from Shmini about the miluim said that when you were going to bring the ola on the miluim day, you had to do it kamishbat, like all other olos, all other voluntary olos, which require smicha. We thought to ourselves that could only be Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai doesn't learn out smicha Beis Shammai does not learn out smicha of mandatory karbanos from smicha of voluntary karbanos. Therefore, I needed a pasuk to tell me that. But Beis Hillel, who learns out of a mamatzinu, it should apply to the whole Torah, he doesn't need that pasuk. And then we said, no, maybe he does need that pasuk, because voluntary are different. Either they're more prevalent, and by all of us, they're all burnt. So I can't learn them for mandatories, therefore I needed this pasuk. That's basically what we did. Okay, next. We have like a little bit of agadah here. Fascinating gemara here. We're going to have some wild stuff over here. Tanur Rabbanan. Ma'aseh b'Hillel HaZaken. There's a story with Hillel HaZaken, Hillel himself. The elder Hillel. Shehevi olas ola azara. He went to bring his ola to the azara. His olas re'iyah. Lismach aleha b'yantif. And according to his shita, and the shita of his yeshiva, he was going to do smicha on yantif to an ola that will not be eaten. Chavru olav tamidei Shammai HaZaken. The Talmidim of Shammai gathered around him. Amrullah, they told him, Mati v'shal behemizu. What are you doing with that animal here? What's going on with this animal? Amalehem, so he told them, Nikevihi. It's a female animal. And therefore what? Rashi says, a female animal can't be a female ola. So by telling them it was a female, he was telling them it's really a shaman. He was lying. Female animal, and ulzivche shlam haveisa. I'm bringing it as a shlamim. Rashi says, listen to this Rashi at the bottom line. I want to say one more line. Kishkesh lehem bizanava. He started to play with the tail of the animal to demonstrate, apparently, that it's really a male. I'm sorry, that it's a female. But he told them it's a female. It really wasn't a female, it really was a male. But he's trying to show them the tail, to show them, hey, look, I'm not trying to pull over on you. About the smicha, that's a separate machlokes. But about that, I could argue, I guess. But about the ola that Beis Shammai was dead set against, they would never permit such a thing because they held it can't be brought on yontif. Smicha is a half an issue. So Hillel was lying, and he was telling them, it's a female. Don't worry about it. It's only for a shlamim. Look, I'll show you. I'll lift up the tail. But they walked away. The Meiri says, because they believed him without having to, they didn't need to see. They believed him. Okay? So far, so good? So Rashi says, bottom Rashi, he lied and told them he's bringing a shlamim. Rashi says, Merov in vinasuno shel Hillel. Because of the tremendous humility of Hillel, hayemishanam ibn hashalom. He changed, he lied for peace. He lied for peace. So, what does that mean? So the Magen Avraham says in Simen Kuf Nun Vav, it's a fascinating Simen. It's about Hilchas Masa U'matan, the halachas of going into business. After Davin, and after Hilchas Davining, there's the one Simen here of going to business. And in that Simen, the Magen Avraham quotes all these phrases throughout Shas that are not codified anywhere. And he quotes them all. And he says as follows. He says, Ha de mutter l'shanas ibn ha-shalom, that which it's mutter to lie for peace. We all know for shalom bayis you're allowed to lie, right? It's this week's blessed week's parsha. Or when Hashem told Avram over the story of Sarah, he changed it. He left out the fact that Sarah said Avram's old. Right? He left it out for shalom, for shalom bayis. So here it says, Ha de mutter l'shanas ibn ha-shalom, that which it's mutter to lie for peace. Hainu bedavar shekvar avar. It's only something that happened already. If something happened already, then you could lie and change the past. But velo milahaba. You can't lie about the future. And who's that said in the name of? The Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim. So in the Sefer Chassidim, in the Masada of Cook edition, where Ruvi Margolius, who's also, he himself is fascinating, he has a pirush there, he says, Tzarechi and Gadol. Here, this, the Makar is this Gemara. Here, Hillel wasn't lying about the past. He was lying about the present. He was lying right now. He was lying. He said it's a female animal. It wasn't true at all. What do you mean about the past? Like the past would be like, no, I really did visit you. I really did pay a shiva call. You just were in the bathroom. You want to lie about something you did in the past for peace. Right? I really did come to the hospital, but I couldn't find a parking spot. Whatever you want to lie about the past, for peace, you could lie. I guess under certain guidelines. But what do you mean? What's he talking about? Hill is lying about the present. He was lying right now. He said, I have a female here. It's not even true. So he suggests that's why Rashi throws in that he was an onav. Why did Rashi have to say that? I mean, from his great humility, he lied. He could have said, he lied for peace. What do you mean because Hill was an onav? What does Hillel being an honor have to do with peace? So that's what the Chidag tries to explain, and that's what Reuven Margolius quotes to answer this question. That Rashi throws in because of his humility. How does that answer the question? That if he would have gotten caught, he would have been embarrassed? Is that it? Maybe that's pshat. He was setting himself up to get caught, so then he would be very embarrassed, and that's a very humble person? I don't know. But he was... Why did he do that? No, what does Rashi say that he was an anav? What does an anav have to do with being a peaceful man? You want to avoid peace? I'll lie. Why does Rashi say he was an anav?
Because instead of saying, Ibn Hillel Zaken in the Halacha Smicha.
I'm Hillel in the Halacha Smicha. He's so humble, but how does it answer what about the past, though? I don't know. It's very difficult over here. I don't have an answer for this. If anyone has an answer, we'd love to hear it. Because the Seva Chassidim and the Magen Avraham quote, you're only allowed to lie in the past. You can't lie for the future. But Hillel is lying for the future. So the potential answer is, that's why Rashi says Hillel was an Anav. How does it really answer the question? I'm not sure. Still fascinating. What are the guidelines? What are the guidelines of this when you're allowed to lie?
He's trying to avoid a confrontation.
Instead, he was trying to avoid a confrontation. But how does that make him an Anav?
He could have just said,
I'm Hillel, here I am, too bad on all of you.
That's the way I hold.
So he didn't do that. He didn't do that because he didn't want to make a fight. Right? He didn't do that, he want to make a fight. So that means he's very humble. But how does that answer the question about lying about the future, which you're not allowed to do? Magen Avraham quotes the halacha. You only can lie about the past for peace. Right? For not peace, you can't lie about the past. But only for peace. Okay, I have to move on.
Determination whether it was a male or female.
What? So we have one more wild thing
maybe
to say.
Past. You already designated the carbon to be an Ola.
They don't assume that. He's standing right there with the Ola.
Right,
he's standing right there.
That was designated in the past.
So that's what I saw one vart that was like it was like when Yaakov lied to Yitzchak. I'm me. And Esav is over there. There's an cave in the world somewhere. And I'm okay. That never really satisfied anybody. Deeper answer to that, right? Okay. Now, Ubikshu likvoa halacha kamosan. He wanted to establish these people. I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Also hayom, that day, gavra yadam shal beishamai al beis hillel. There were more people, more students of beishamai, more than beis hillel, and ubikshu likvoa halacha kamosan. They wanted to establish the halacha like them. They had the majority. Let's go. There was one person there who was an old man who was a Talmud of Shammai Hazakein, Ubab ben Buta Shmo, and Bab ben Buta was his name. We'll speak about him for 2 minutes. He knew the halacha was like Beis Hillel. V'shilach v'havi kol tzon kedusha shabi Yerushalayim. He went to Kedar. Rashi says it was a place where they had good sheep. He brought the Seir Hadoros quotes the Medrash. He brought 3,000 sheep. From this place to the Tosa says it wasn't to the Azara, it must have been to the Harabayas, to the outer areas where you could bring Chulin. And he said, the Hamidah Bazara, he put them in the Azara, Tosa says the Harabayas. Vamar, call me Shirat Zalismach Yavav Yismach. Whoever wants to come to Smicha, come to Smicha. I'm a Talmud of Beishamai, true, but Beis Hillel's right. Hillel's right. And therefore the halach is like him. Vosayom Gover Yadam Shal Beis Hillel, and that day the Beis Hillel won out, for Kavah Halacha Kamosan. And they established halacha like Beis Hillel. V'lo ha'yisham adam sha'ara b'davar klum. And nobody opposed it. Nobody had a problem with it. So who's Baba ben Buta? Fascinating man. First of all, he's the one that would bring. He brought it to Asham Toloi every day of his life because maybe he did averos the day before, except for one day. What day was that? The day after Yom Kippur. The day after Yom Kippur, he said, "I didn't bring one." He's also the one that when King Herod became king, he killed all the Talmidei Chachamim, hundreds of people he killed. He was a brutal, brutal man. The only person he left alive was Baba ben Buta, who he ended up blinding. And then he started to have a little bit of, and then he went to Baba ben Buta, not telling him that he was Herod, and started asking him all these questions. Let's rebel against Herod. Let's go rebel against the king. Baba ben Buta had no idea who it was. He said, no, he's the king, and he had a lot of respect for him. He was very upset. He killed out all the chachamim, but he wouldn't rebel against him. He was the king, and he quoted in various psukim that the king has certain rights. He can't rebel against him, and Herod felt very bad, that he had done this to everybody. When he realized he killed the people that had the most respect for him, he said, how should I make up for it? And Bava ben Buta told him, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the Beis HaMikdash that we have today. It's all from Bava ben Buta. So I saw something which is very wild, but I just had to repeat it. I don't know. You can make with this whatever you want. This is from the Seder HaDoros. He says as follows. Hurdus either is a Gilgal or represents somebody in our history called Avimelech. Avimelech was the son of the Navi, of the Shofet Gidon, who, this person Avimelech, killed his whole family. He killed his 70 siblings. He killed his 70 siblings. One person survived. One little son named Yosam. That was his name there. It's in the ninth parak in Shoftim. And Yosam got up and made a whole speech criticizing the Bnei Yisrael, saying, we had great Shoftim before us. We had Othniel, we had Devorah, we had my father. And none of them wanted to be king. And all of a sudden, my brother comes along, and he wants to make himself king. And he says over here, and Bava ben Buta was this little Yosam, who also had to sit there and suffer as all the other, all his contemporaries, all his chaverim were all killed out, and there's no one left but him. And then he says, he says something about the mothers, I don't know, I don't understand that part, but I just thought it was fascinating that this Bava ben Buta is very, very, he gets around, he's always around, so he's very, you can see, he's a very independent kind of person, and even though he was a Talmud of Shammai, he established the halacha like Beis Hillel. This is before, and before I should point out, Hillel was still alive. Hillel was there. This is before the Baskol came out and said, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Before that happened. So he was a maverick person. Right? He's going against his own yeshiva for the shita of his opponent before the halacha was established that way. So that's very interesting.
At the time Shammai was not alive anymore?
I don't know. That I don't know. There is a story with Shammai and Herod also. But I don't remember that story. We'll have to look it up. There was a story. So they were all contemporary. It could have been Shammai wasn't alive anymore. I don't know. Okay. Shuv Maisa b'Talmud Echad. There was another story with another Talmud. Now here already it's Mitalmidei Beis Hillel. Here already it's Rashi says this is after the other story took place. And now we have a Talmud of Beis Hillel. Shehevi Olaso La'Azara. He brings an Ola to the Azara. Lismoch Aleha. To do Smicha. So Matzu Talmud Echad Mitalmidei Beis Shammai. He finds one Talmud from the Talmidim of Beis Shammai, Amar Lo, and the Beis Shammai person says to the Beis Hillel person, Mazu Smicha, what's the Smicha that you're doing here? What's the Smicha that you're doing? Right? Meaning, we don't do Smicha on Yontif. Amar Lo, Mazesh Shtika, what is silence? Meaning, don't start up with me. Right? Why don't you be quiet? So, Shasko bin Azifa, he silenced this Talmud of Beis Shammai with his rebuke, so to speak. If that's rebuke. V'halach, and he went v'halach lo, and he went away. And he left the guy alone. So Amar Abaya says, Hilkach, therefore, ha'itzurva me'rabbanan, if you have a Talmud Chacham, da'amar le'i chavrei milsa, and someone says something to you which you don't like, lo lahadile milsa tfei mimai da'amar le'i chavrei. Don't say something back more than what he said to you. Right? D'ihi, this is an unbelievable musr. Right? When someone dishes it to you, don't dish it back a step higher. Right? Dish it back the way he dished it to you. D'ihu amale mazes smicha. Because all he said was, what's the smicha? And did he answer back, who are you? I'm Beis Hillel, we won. No. V'kama ha'adalei mazes shtika. All he said was, what about silence? That's all he said.
Is that what he's trying to say? Is he trying to say, listen, if someone says something you disagree with, talk about it in the same scope that he's talking about. Of course, it's adoration.
Right, no, they don't seem to say it that way.
Anything was brought to light, you can talk about, right. But don't start bringing in other bias that have nothing to do with what the other.
No, they don't seem to say it that way. They don't seem to say it that way. When someone's criticizing you, you criticize back in kind. Don't take it to the next level, which 90% of the time happens, right? Just answer back the way you were accused, and the guy walked away. He was bested by something so small. That's it. He got the message. Okay. That's it for the Agarata. Tanya, Lord of the Braisa. Amrulahem, so again, we had a machlokes whether or not Beis Hillel permitted slaughtering voluntary nedavos on Yontif. We had a machlokes about that. Right? We had a machlokes about that. Now we're going to go through that again. That machlokes. Can you bring voluntary nedavos on Yontif? Right? And we asked, what about Hoel? Seth, remember we asked, what about Hoel? Why can't you? So the Gemara is going to ask that question tomorrow. So now we're going to go through it again. Tanya, Amru lahem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, I have a kal v'chomer that I'm right. You know why? Ma makom she'osur lehedyot. If you have a Shabbos, for example, where a hedyot's not allowed to cook, there's no cooking on Shabbos, but mutar l'gvola, there's still karbanos on Shabbos, still karbanos, you can still bring, especially chovos, you can bring them on Shabbos. So makom she'mutar lehedyot. So on a day where it's mutar to bring karban, mutar to eat, mutar to cook, mutar to do all these malachos, eino din she'mutar l'gvola, can I bring, Rashi says, can I bring the olah from Iyah? Can I bring that? No one's eating it, but I'm involved with all these other malachos. Can I bring this? Beis Hillel said you could bring that. Beis Shammai said you can't. I have a kal v'chomer that I'm right. On Shabbos, I can't cook and do these things, but the mizbeach is open. So on a day when my oven's open, the mizbeach, I can't bring this to the mizbeach? So amalehem Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai answered back, Nedarim v'nedavos yochichu. Nedarim and nedavos will prove that I'm right. Now this, what do you see from here? That Beis Hillel agreed that they can't be brought on Yontif. Because Beis Hillel is agreeing to that. And Beis Shammai says, you agree, Beis Hillel, that you can't bring voluntary nedavos on Yontif. That's going to prove that you can't bring olos either. Why? Shemutu lehedyot. Because those are mutter for a hedyot. V'asur ligvoa. And they can't be brought. I'm allowed to eat those, I just can't bring them. So an ola, which I can't eat, I certainly can't bring. That's a kal v'chomer. Beis Shammai, that's a good kal v'chomer. So Amru lehem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said back, no, but you know what the difference is? Malin adarm v'nedavos, she'en kavu lehem zman. But adarm and adavos, voluntary ones, can be brought anytime you want. So why are you bringing them today on Sukkot? Bring them any other time of the year, of course. So, but Torah ba'olos re'iyah, but the ola re'iyah, she kavu lehzman. It's got to be brought right now. This is the zman to bring it. So it's supposed to. That's exactly what it is. An olas re'iyah, right? Re'iyah. What's re'iyah? When you see the Beis Hamikdash. It's one of the things. El devarim she'ein lahen shir. Harayon. Harayon does not mean that there's no shir how pregnant a woman could be. That's not what it means. It means that when you there's no shir. The machlok is what it means. There's no shir how many times you have to appear in front of the Beis Hamikdash. There's no shir on the carbon. This is the carbon we're talking about. It's for the regalim. So of course the zman is right now. So Amar lehem Beis Shammai says, no, avzu ein kevel azman, that's not a kavu azman, ditnan, because we learned, mi shelo chag b'yom tov rishon, shel chag, if you didn't bring it on the first day, chogig v'holich kol regel kulo, you can bring it for the next 7 days, even Shavuos. It's one of the reasons that when people don't say tachnun, the week after Shavuos, because it still had a shemitz of a yontif, because you can bring the kabanos on the week afterwards. Pesach and Sukkot, there was still yontif. But not only that, Yontif Achmon Shel Chag, even Shmini Atzeres, you can bring the Ola for Sukkot. So that's not a Kavuot Man. You have a whole week. Amar lehem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says back, Afzu Kavuot Zman. No, that's still Kavuot Zman. Ditnan, like we said yesterday. Well, this is not, we didn't say this yesterday, but this is a Mishnah. Avar HaRegel V'lo Chag, if the Regel passed and you never brought it, Eino Chayev Achriyaso, you don't have to bring another one. That's it, you lost it, you blew it. You blew it. Right, we said yesterday, we don't wanna wait till the last minute. We wanna bring it the first possible chance we have so that we don't get tomei, the animal doesn't get become a mum. We wanna bring it the first chance we have. Of course it's kavuot zman. Yeah, you have a week. Yeah, but who wants to wait till the last? Who wants to wait? What if something happens to somebody? Right? Somebody becomes tomei, that's it. It's over. He's gonna lose out on the opportunity. So of course it's a kavuot zman. So Amar lehem Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai says back, but the Torah says that I'm right. Torah says, lochem v'lo l'gvoa. Lochem means only lochem, not these karbanos. These karbanos cannot be brought. So Amar lehem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, no. V'lo kfar nemar l'Hashem. Beis Hillel said this yesterday. Kol de l'Hashem. Any karban that's for Hashem can be brought on Yontif. So im kein, ma tamad lomar lochem. What does lochem mean according to Beis Hillel? It can't mean karbanos because you're allowed to bring karbanos. So what does it mean? Lachem v'lo l'kusim, lachem v'lo l'klavim. It means you can't cook for kusim, and you can't cook for your animals. You can't do extra malachos for a guy, and you can't do extra malachos for your animals.
So according to Beis Shammai, when are you supposed to bring the korban re'iyah, ola re'iyah?
Either, I don't know if you can bring it erev yontif. I don't know the answer to that question. Can you bring it before yontif begins? But you have to bring it either chal ha'moed or after yontif. Maybe you can bring it before yontif, I don't know. But on Yontif itself, absolutely not. No one eats it. That's what Bishame holds. And according to Beis Hillel, you can bring it on the first day of Yom Tov, and that's the best time to bring it. Get it over with. Make sure you don't run into problems later on. You're not going to become tame. The animal won't become a balmum, whatever. You won't lose it. It won't get stolen. All these issues that can come up, do it the first day.
What about on Chol HaMoed, they're allowed?
On Chol HaMoed, you're allowed. Yeah, that's what we said yesterday. Right. Now, so the bottom, why was this brought here? This was brought here to show that according to this brisa, Beis Hillel agree that you can't bring voluntary karbanos on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel agree to that. Now, Abishal says, B'lashon Acheret. He had a slightly different version, and in this version, Beis Shammai is not going to say back, yeah, but I have a Kal V'chomer that I'm right. Because he knew that Beis Hillel held, you can. And if Beis Hillel holds he can, then there's no Kal V'chomer. So that's what this Abishal is coming to say. That Beis Hillel holds, you can bring voluntary karbanos on Yom Tov. How? Uma b'makom shekiras chastuma on Shabbos, your kira. Your oven is closed. There's no cooking on Shabbos. But kiras rabacha pesucha, Hashem's oven, so to speak, the mizbeach, is open. Same idea. On Shabbos, I'm allowed to cook, but the Beis HaMikdash, I can bring karbanos. So b'makom shekirascha pesucha. So on a day when my oven's open, on Yontif, when I'm allowed to cook, ain't a din shekiras rabascha pesucha? Can I bring karbanos? Can I bring karbanos? Beis Shammai does not say back, according to this version, yeah, but you can't bring the davos. Because according to this, Beis Hillel says you can. V'chein badin. And he continues, I have a kal v'chomer. Shelo yehei shulchan chamalei, what, you're going to have a table full of beautiful food, v'shulchan rabacha reikon, and the mizbeach is empty? Because you're not bringing anything? Doesn't make any sense. So of course you're allowed to bring voluntary ones on Yom Tov. Of course. So b'maykal miflagi, what's the machlokas about between these two versions, Abishal and the previous one? Mar savar nedarim v'nedarim is craven b'Yom Tov. One holds you can bring nedarim v'nedarim on Yom Tov. Umar savar ain craven b'Yom Tov. And one holds you cannot. Right? Abishal said you can. The first version was you cannot, according to Beis Hillel. And the Gemara says, Amar of Huna, L'divi ha'omer nedarim v'nedarim ain craven b'Yom Tov. According to the one who says you cannot, the first version, that you were not able to bring these on Yom Tov, lo tema, don't tell me that midaraisa mechaza chazi, that midaraisa you really can, v'rabanan hu degazri bay, behu, and the Rabbanan made a gzeira not to. What's the gzeira? Gzeira shema yisha, maybe you'll delay, right? One second, what does Rashi say? Right? Maybe you'll delay, you'll, and there'll be a mishap, and you'll be, and it'll never be brought. Don't tell me that. The midaraisa, really you can, midarabanan made a gzeira. El afilu midaraisa nami lo chazi. Even midaraisa you can't. You know why? To hashteh halechem, because there's a shteh halechem which were brought on Shavuos. The chovet hayom ninhu. And they have to be brought on Shavuos. Right? V'lekem b'l'migzah shem yisheh. There's no issue you're going to delay. They got to be brought on one day. You know, you're not saving up anything from the past 6 months. No, just one day you have to bring it. There's no issue of delaying. There's no mishap that's going to happen. The enodoka lo shabbos v'lo is a yontif. And if you didn't bake them beforehand, too bad. You can't bake them on Shabbos and yontif. So what do you see from that? You see it's asa midaraisa. You see it's asa midaraisa. So, okay, that's it. Okay, we'll stop here because the next thing is a new continuation. Tomorrow we have a very interesting halacha. It's about inviting goyim to your house. One of the rare things that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, but you're allowed to do on Shabbos. That's a good trivia question. Right? What could you do on Yom Tov and you can't do on Shabbos? Other questions. What could you do on Shabbos and you can't do during the week? That's a lot. There's like 25 of those things. You can do them on Shabbos, and during the week you can't. Trivia questions. So that's tomorrow's daf. Everybody have a very good day.